Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
We got a lot of good football over the next 4 or 5 days, Gabe Neitzel. I mean, between the college football playoff games Thursday and Friday, the first round of the NFL playoffs on Saturday and Sunday.
And Monday. Super wild card weekend.
Buckle up, settle in, folks. Packers obviously taking on the Bears. I know there was a lot of consternation headed into this week about, oh, do we want the Bears? Do we want the Eagles? Well, this is how it is. Packers get the Bears. And I know you guys have talked about this headed into this week. But I want to ask you this morning, Chewy. Because our guy Will the Thrill, who was with us a little bit last week when Joshy was taking a much-deserved break. Good morning, Joshy.
Sup.
I knew you were going to say sup. Asked us this. Should the Packers be viewed headed into the playoffs as A, a dangerous underdog, B, an injured but competitive team, C, a team that got hot early, or D, the number 7 seed that no one fears? Now, the injury thing probably isn't as relevant now as it was last week because seemingly this team is much healthier now than they were when the question was first posed. But what does your gut tell you, Chew, about those four options presented? How should the Packers be viewed by the rest of the league, not by Packer backers, Packer fanatics?
Can I add an E?
Yes, add an E.
Surprised he knew E was the next letter.
One and done at best.
So the 7 seed no one fears-ish?
Probably. The Bears do not fear the Packers.
Really?
That's for sure. No. Why would you?
Because you've been outplayed by them over the course of 2 games?
At home, playoff game, coming off of a loss, 2 losses actually. They'll be hungry. Gabe, are you delusional about this team? Because you seem to be, over the last couple weeks, a little delusional. You feel my take on what you're saying is, oh, they're healthy, now they're going to be good.
No, I mean, I'm taking this one game at a time, Chew. And so much for Mr. Positivity. He said he was going to be positive for the rest of the week. And
I'm a realist.
Now he's just, you know, thrashing out at me, calling me delusional. By the way, Packers are once again favored in this game. So this line's just going to keep bopping back and forth 1.5.
Oh, so it just keeps
flipping back and forth between Packers 1.5 or Bears 1.5. Like, I'm expecting them to win this game. After that, like going to Seattle's a tall task. I'll worry about that after this game. But I would say the expectation is to win this game because of the way that you've played against the Bears. And the way you played against the Bears, even coming off of the devastating Micah Parsons injury. You're an onside kick away from closing them out and being in first place in the division. So if Romeo Doubs would have done his job on that one play, you'd be 2-0 against the Bears. Like, they've outplayed the Bears in 2 games. So This is, I think, a great matchup for the Packers.
But you can't discount that out of all the teams in the league, the Bears win weirdest the most.
Yep. Yeah.
They just win.
So I have to count on the Bears winning fluky?
Well, it's more of the attitude that they seem to carry into every game, which is down 2 scores, who cares? Like, and I think I told you guys this the last time I was watching a Bears game with my kid. He was like, it's over, pack it up. And I go, have you seen Bears games this year? Like, this is a team that feels extremely confident no matter what the deficit is late in the game, because now Caleb Williams is like, all right, here we go. This is the exact type of situation he wants to operate in, which is basically just kind of click, click, click down the field, touchdown, you know, as opposed to, for whatever reason, they don't do that earlier in games. And I do have people asking on the Carbless Talking text line and on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always weigh in on the show on both of those outlets. Can you be a dangerous underdog if you're favored in the game? I think because of what you said, Gabe, that it keeps going back and forth. You know, the 7 seed in and of itself makes the Packers the underdog, quote unquote, in this game. But you may think that they are a dangerous underdog, that they are the squad that, even though they're the 7 seed, can do damage in this postseason. As I said last week, I don't think there's one extremely intimidating team in the NFC. So that gives me more hope that the Packers can clip off a few wins, maybe make a run. And once you're in, I still feel like hey, it's anybody's game. That's how I have felt about this team, even with the injuries they have sustained.
But that's just the way of the NFL this year. I mean, you look at it now with the Packers being favored again. Four of the six teams on the road are favored. There are only two home favorites out of the six games in the postseason. Everything is just jammed together. It all comes down to matchups, which is why I wanted the Bears. The Packers match up better against the Bears versus matching up against the Eagles. Eagles, not a good matchup for the Packers, as good as the Eagles play defense. And as bad as their offense has been, they still take care of the football pretty well. So the Bears, playoff inexperienced, bad defense, this is the better matchup, I think, for the Packers in this situation.
So of those options that Will presented, Gabe, which one do you think is most accurate for the team that we are looking at right now?
I would say injured but competitive, because they still are beat up. They don't have Micah Parsons. They've got 15 guys on IR that they keep throwing on there. The cornerback position is completely depleted to the point where Trayvon Diggs is probably going to play if they need another cornerback, if somebody has to go down for an injury for any sort of reason in this game. So they're still beat up, but I think they're going to be competitive in this game.
I saw arguments online that Trayvon Diggs should start over Carrington Valentine. We'll get into that as the show goes on and hear what you guys think about that decision that Matt LaFleur has on his hands. Plus, we'll talk about the John Harbaugh thing. We've got Schefter coming up as well. The options are as follows. Are the Packers a dangerous underdog, an injured but competitive team, a team that got hot too early, the seven seed nobody fears? Joshy, I'll go to you on this one because you're obviously plugged into where the Packers are. Which of those four most accurately describes the Packers team that will be taking the field on Saturday?
I think injured but competitive. I think everyone realizes the Packers offense and Jordan Love can score with the best of them, and they can score fast and furious on you even with the amount of injuries they had. It's one of those teams that if you're not having your best day defensively, next thing you know, you're fighting from behind. They are certainly susceptible. We've seen them drop four games to end of the season. But it's not like anybody's thinking, we're going to coast past these guys. Like, Matt LaFleur is feared as a play caller. Jordan Love has raised his level of play to where you have to worry, are they going to score in three plays and totally turn the momentum in this game? And to me, that makes them one of those, injured but competitive.
Chew, I want to talk about the four-game losing streak headed into the postseason. Not that you've experienced it, but as the only one of us who's been in a locker room and knows how something like that might weigh on a team, might weigh on players, how are these guys viewing four losses to end the regular season, and now you got to go in a win-or-go-home situation?
I don't know. That's going to be the interesting thing. Because Ben Johnson was clearly ticked off at the end of the Detroit game, and they haven't been in this position in years. So I think he'll have them ready to play. After a four-game losing streak, you have no confidence. It's just going to be interesting to see how they come out of the gate. If they have fire or... Because I've said it a couple times this week. When you know you can't win the Super Bowl, you know it. You just know it. You know? You're not fooling anybody.
My problem with you going back to that well, Chew, is I think you're looking at this team like you guys in 98, that veteran experienced team that had won a Super Bowl, been to the one the year before, and then in 98 you knew you just didn't have it. But this team's more like you guys were in 94, 95.
No, they're not. They're more like we were in 93. 93, we knew we couldn't win it.
Yeah, but what did you... Okay, cool. What'd you guys do?
We beat Detroit.
You beat Detroit. You went into Detroit and you won.
And then we got worked. If you remember that game, we were about to lose. They were on the 3-yard line, and I believe it was Eric Kramer throws a stupid pass to George Teague, and George Teague takes it 103 yards for a touchdown and turns the game around.
Yeah, but so you tell me the mentality going into that game. You're like, well, we can't win the Super Bowl. Might as well not try.
No, but I remember that feeling like this is over. I mean, they're on the 3-yard line.
Well, yeah, in the game, but going into the game,
yeah,
you guys were okay. Hey, we're this young team. Yeah, we have to go on the road against a divisional opponent. I think that's great because this is also going on the road against a divisional opponent. Now, again, the weird wrinkle was you guys went and had to play Detroit the week before in the regular season before having to go back to Detroit, but. I'm guessing you were still wanting to win that game and put forth an effort, and it just wasn't like hands in the pockets, shrugging the shoulders, like, well, we can't win the Super Bowl, so I guess we might as well pack it in.
No, you do, but this game is all, and I hate to use this word, but it's kind of appropriate. It's all about physicality. If you don't match their intensity and you can't fake it. And there are guys on this team that I think fake it. Well, and you cannot fake it.
We know you who you're talking to come about. Out. There's one guy you're talking about there.
Nah, there's probably more than that. I mean, because we had more than that in 93. It's just, Gabe, not everyone gives a sugar. Not everyone gives. I mean, everyone likes to think that everyone gives a crap, but there are guys in the locker room, even a good locker room, that could care less. You know what they care about? Tuesdays every other week.
That's yeah, and you guys, and life. You guys, yeah, and you guys filter a lot of those guys out. I'm
even saying in '96.
Sure,
there were guys.
Yeah, and you guys
didn't.
Still won a Super Bowl despite having guys
yeah.
like that. Like I just feel like you're painting this picture of doom and gloom when you guys had all these things that you're talking about happened, and you guys still had success.
I'm being unbiased here. I would rather be in Chicago's position than Green Bay's position. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
As far as what?
Playing at home.
Oh yeah, that's why the Romeo Dobbs
home,
thing.
There's an excitement in Chicago. They've been horrible for years. The people there are hungry. Not to say Green Bay's not.
But I'll tell you this though, Chew. The Packers jump up to a lead. They get up 10-0. That nervous energy can be felt because they haven't been here. And when they have been here, they've had some pretty historical playoff moment, right? So
correct.
The energy in that building can flip on a dime.
But it goes back to what I just said earlier. This team always wins ugly. So if they're up 10, Green Bay, which they've blown before, Gabe, it ain't over.
No, and I'm not saying
it's
it is.
It's not over.
And I'm not saying it is, but like, I just don't think that the Bears are a juggernaut that you can't overcome on the road.
You know what? And I said it, I'm sick of spinning wheels. Let's go, Gabe, let's go from LaFleur's 7 years here, and you tell me if he's underachieved, okay?
Okay.
I don't even have to. Did he underachieve when they played Tampa Bay when they were the number one seed during the COVID year?
Yes.
Did they underachieve against San Francisco when they lost in the first round?
Yep.
Did they underachieve? They probably didn't underachieve when they beat Dallas.
That's
right?
Correct.
They're
the only team as a 7 seed yes. to ever win a game.
Did they underachieve last year?
I think they kind of were what they were.
I would say they underachieved.
In the regular season,
have they underachieved?
No, I mean, you look at the roster last year, their roster wasn't nearly as good as what the Lions was. Like, they weren't as good of a team last year as Detroit was. I know we want them to be better, but also, at the end of the day, when it comes to Matt LaFleur, he's one of three coaches that's made the playoffs each of the last 6 years.
Sure.
So but again, like, how many more coaches are you going to fire if Matt LaFleur is spinning wheels and underachieving? So Kevin O'Connell's underachieved?
I'm not ready to fire him yet.
I mean, how many? I'm just saying, I think that The doom and gloom going into this game is just a little much.
Chew, are you saying that if they lose on Saturday to the Bears, then you would be open to that conversation?
Well, there's got to be wholesale changes.
And look, I think that's what we're seeing from
a lot of
fans right
now. I'm not a run it back, Jen. I'm not a run it back. Oh, let's make excuses here. Let's make excuses. Let's just run it back. You know? Just that ain't my main. I mean, take it into the real world. Right? Everyone has goals.
Yeah.
They have goals at this company. There's a lot of turnover at this company because people don't achieve their goals. When my wife ran a business during COVID, you don't sit here and go, well, it's COVID. Let's take a 20% loss. No, you're paying your guy to make a lot of money. Figure it out. That's all I'm saying.
I have seen both sides of that argument all over social media. You will have people who do what you did, Chew, which is to say underachieved, overachieved, underachieved year by year of the Matt LaFleur experience. And then the counterpoint is, well, this was Jordan Love's first season. And so, you know, basically you're dealing with a first year and then whatever the circumstances are for the next one and the circumstances for the next one and trying to give explanations or maybe excuses for why they, quote unquote, underachieved in each of those situations. I will tell you this. I did see a lot of discourse saying that if Matt LaFleur were let go by the Green Bay Packers, he would be the top candidate of the coaching carousel, no questions asked. I think that changed yesterday. I think John Harbaugh takes that spot over Matt LaFleur.
I don't know if that's true.
I think he takes that spot over Matt LaFleur on a coaching carousel if Matt LaFleur were to be made available. And we are going to talk about the John Harbaugh domino effect now as he was let go yesterday by the Ravens. As the show goes on, we do have Adam Schefter coming up. 800-990-3776. Our question this morning is this. How should the Packers be viewed headed into their postseason matchup against the Bears this weekend? A dangerous underdog, an injured but competitive team, a team that got hot too early, or the number 7 seed that nobody fears? Let us know. 800-990-3776. You can weigh in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, List Is More, or the YouTube stream where we always check out your comments. We'll be right back after this.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're getting ready to propose, the Jewelry Center is the place to go for that ring. They're the go-to spot for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. Look, it's what I did. Chewy goes there all the time, wants to check out great gift ideas for his wife. This is where you should be going. It's the premier spot to go in Milwaukee. If you stop in to Brookfield, Burlington, or in Greenfield or Mequon, check out one of those four locations. Look, you're going to find great service. And that's what I think separates them. They've got great selection, obviously, but the team at the Jewelry Center is never going to point you in the wrong direction, especially if you're looking for that diamond engagement ring. If it's a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in your market for, the Jewelry Center has it. So stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, and Mequon, or online at shoptjc.com. And when you head to the Jewelry Center, first, if you see Dean, tell him hi for us. Second, tell him that Gabe and Chew sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywing and saying, you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Wendorf & Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today at thewendorfteam.firstweber.com. Asking you this morning how you view the Packers or how they should be viewed, right? I loved earlier this morning when Chewy was talking about delusion and he asked Gabe if Gabe is delusional. Josh, in your experience, do delusional people fess up to being delusional?
No, I think that's sort of categorically against
part
the
of
idea.
How it works, right?
Yeah.
But Chewy's faith in Gabe was strong on that one. Our question is, how should they be viewed? A dangerous underdog, an injured but competitive team, a team that got hot too early, or the number 7 seed nobody fears? My gut tells me they're a dangerous underdog. And that is because, of course, I still believe in what this offense could do. I have seen good things from the defense. Now, yes, Micah Parsons not being there makes a huge difference. But I do think that this is a team that can surprise people. And if they get that victory over the Bears, I think they can go toe-to-toe with Seattle. I know there are other people out there who disagree with that.
I think Zach Tom being back, too, is going to be big for this offense. Because they've been without him. You know, for Micah Parsons went down in that game, and they lost Christian Watson. But also going down in that game was Zach Tom. And they haven't had Zach Tom since that Denver game. So solidifying that offensive line certainly going to help. And again, the Bears, when they've tried to blitz Jordan Love, especially if you've got Zach Tom, picking up those blitzes, having that offensive line continuity, they've been able to carve up the blitz. And I think that's going to be a big part of the Packers offense looking the way it should, is Zach Tom being back.
800, go ahead, Chew.
You could say the same thing for the Bears. Having Burton and Adunze.
Oh, yeah. Look,
it's going to be a big difference.
Yeah, Burton's been back for a little bit and hasn't made a ton of difference for whatever reason in their last couple of games. I don't know. I didn't see Rome Adunze's injury designation.
He's practicing.
He's practicing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do I think? I think this is going to be a really good game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I think San Fran and Eagles is going to be a really good game. Out of all the playoff games this weekend, I think those two are the gems.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know if you saw this, Chew. That's the one everybody was fighting for. Those were the two. It was Packers, Bears, and 49ers, Eagles, and the NFL decided to do Prime a favor and throw the Packers on Prime.
Yeah.
Which, again, doesn't affect the local markets, right? Because it will always be on local television in addition to streaming service.
In Milwaukee, it's going to be on Fox 6. But yeah, if you want to throw it up on Fox 6, you can do that, or you can throw it up on Prime. But yeah, if you're outside of Green Bay and Milwaukee, unfortunately, you need to have Prime.
Is that Herb Street and Michaels?
Yes.
Okay. I don't mind that. That's a good combo.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines. Mo in Illinois waiting patiently to chat with us. Mo, what do you think? How should the Packers be viewed headed into their first playoff game of this season?
I think the team is, I agree with you, Jen. I think they're a dangerous underdog. If we were playing the Eagles, I think I would have a bit of a different feeling. I wanted nothing to do with the Eagles. I don't think the Packers match up well against them. The fact that we drew against the Bears, I have a pretty good feeling that we will beat the Bears. I really do. If we remember, when Micah Parsons tore his ACL in Denver, a week later, you know, they played in Chicago, and that defense, the Packers' defense looked really good for most of the game. And then now you throw in, you know, Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver, who looked really well this past week against Minnesota. But mind you, they were playing against mostly against the Minnesota starters on defense. I would like to see them get more snaps over the guy that we sent out an Amber Alert on for a few months now, Rashawn Gary, because I think they really, really proved themselves a little bit. I'm excited to see what they could do against the Bears' offensive line. You know, the Bears can't stop anybody on defense. Their defense is putrid. I mean, if you watch that game against Detroit, they couldn't stop Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think the Packers match up well against them. And if the Packers don't beat themselves up offensively, if they limit the self-inflicted wounds, I think the Packers could score. They could score a lot, and if the defense just hangs in there, Packers are going to beat the Bears. I have no doubt about it, and I'm excited to see what this team can do moving forward.
Appreciate the call, Mo. Always a loyal listener. Always great to have him on the show. So those guys that he mentioned, Baron Sorrell and Cox and Oliver, those are guys that Matt LaFleur talked about because they did get a lot of snaps last week because of the way that they chose to approach the final game of the regular season. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur on if we will see those guys this weekend against the Bears.
Hey, Matt, you always talk about taking advantage of your opportunities. Did you think Sorrell, Cox, and Colin Oliver did that? Can you use them a little bit more in this game?
Yeah, potentially. I think they definitely showed well. I was really impressed with their style of play, their effort, and their ability to go out there and make some plays. So I thought all three of those guys did a really nice job.
If nothing else, Chu, you had to like that they were able to get to the quarterback, which is something that we have been desperately desiring from this Green Bay Packers defensive line without Micah Parsons. Do you think those guys can be a spark that they can, help this lackluster pass rush?
Yeah, I just want guys that are going to play with energy and play to the whistle. And I think people know what I'm talking about because the playoffs change a little bit because it's sudden death and things speed up, even though it sounds strange. Look, this game is simple. It really comes down to one thing. One thing. If the Packers can't stop the run, they are in trouble. They are in trouble. They have to be able to stop the run. If they can stop the run, it takes away their play action. It takes away Loveland. Your tight end is huge in play action. If they can't stop the run, it's going to be a long day.
True. As far as your energy point, I'd rather have those guys out there if they make a mistake or two and have that energy, because a lot of times that energy can lead to a big play or a big hit or a turnover because we talked about this all the time with Rashawn, when he just kind of gives up the play and he just jogs towards the sideline. How many times, Chu, have you seen an NFL game where a backside defender giving that energy is able to chase down a runner and force a fumble?
Yeah.
Right? So I'd rather have that and have the chance that something might happen versus, I guess the play's over. Get ready for the next one.
Yeah, Rashawn Gary has next play mindset, next play mentality before the play's even over. Well, can't win them all.
On to the next one.
We've seen defensive tackles make plays downfield in those same exact situations where they don't give up. And Rashawn just said, nah, I'm good.
The only thing that scares you in that situation, especially with young guys, and we've seen it all the time, they're so susceptible to the boot.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know that the Bears are going to want to boot. They want to get Caleb Williams outside the pocket.
Well, does it really matter? Because we saw what's happened. Rashawn just runs past. I mean, Caleb just runs past Rashawn.
Yeah.
So if you get
even though he was ready for it really didn't matter.
Right. So if you get sucked in or not, the result is the same, and at least you have a guy chasing the ball.
Yeah. But you know what? And I was watching ESPN, and actually I kind of liked what who's their analyst there? Safety boy.
Safety
Brian Clark?
Matt Bowen?
No. Come on. Ran out of the end zone.
Dan Orlovsky.
See,
he's a quarterback, but he said safety, so I immediately went defensive back.
When he said
back.
Safety boy, I thought that. Yeah. But yeah, safety boy does fit in this situation.
Go ahead.
Well. He was breaking it down, and in the last game, when the Bears were at home in the second half, the Bears were just destroying the D-line with double teams. And they were just showing it how there was contact, 4 yards down the field, and then the Bears' offensive line was just turning what should have been a 4 yard gain into an 8 yard gain or a 9 yard gain. That can't happen. Like I said, if they stop the run, they're going to win the game. If they can't stop the run, they're going to lose the game.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next. I want to ask Adam right out of the gate, if I say safety boy in reference to an analyst on ESPN's
who does he think
networks.
Of?
Yes.
Who does he think of?
I'm going to say Adam gets it.
Okay, so when we get Adam Schefter in about 3 minutes, that's going to be your right out of the gate, Chew. You go ahead and you ask him, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll take a break. Roll on red for this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates, just like the moves made in the pros. Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service, they're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. If you're looking to buy or sell a house, make the move and get in touch with Tony Wendorf and Associates.
Always great to have Adam Schefter joining the show. Chewy, didn't you want to ask Adam something right out of the gate?
I did. Adam, so last segment I was talking to Jen and Gabe about one of your analysts there at the station, and I really liked how he was breaking down the last Bears-Packers game, but I couldn't I'm fumbling with his name. I couldn't think of him. My memory's not the best, so I'm fumbling, and all of a sudden I just said, safety boy. And they didn't know who I was talking about. If I said that
Dominique
to you...
Dominique Foxworth or Ryan Clark, one of the two.
No!
That was incorrect, Adam. I'm sorry. Just like...
Out of the boy?
Yeah.
Out of the end zone. Detroit.
Oh, Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky. Just so you know, Adam, that is exactly the train of thought that Gabe and I were following. We were like, oh, defensive back. So you got Ryan Clark. You mentioned Dominique Foxworth. He's like, no. Yeah. Detroit, back in the end zone.
Dominique Foxworth is on Get Up right now. Like, you'd figure, okay, he's on there right now. Like, you're talking about him. Okay, he's on. Safety boy. Yeah, there we go. Dan Orlovsky would be end zone boy. Okay? Like, that would be...
If you said
end zone boy, we'd get it.
Yeah, okay. I'm mostly disappointed in Gabe, because Gabe... For years working with him is typically inside my brain, but obviously he wasn't.
I fumbled
this,
that one.
Not today. Adam, obviously the big news around the NFL is that John Harbaugh was let go by the Ravens 18 seasons. And Gabe and I were going to have this conversation a little bit later in the show, but you know, there's all this talk in Green Bay about if they lose this game, how Matt LaFleur is on the hot seat. We don't know what Ed Policy is going to do. You came out with you talked about the money potentially being an issue and, you know, if they can agree on a number. Where does the Green Bay coaching situation stand today?
I think unresolved would be the best way of saying it and the fairest way of saying it, right? Like, I think it has to be addressed whenever their season ends, and how it ends probably will have some sort of influence on how that goes down. If they go on an extended playoff run, price only goes up. If they lose this weekend, those talks can start right away and they can try to get clarity. It's a lot of timing. It's a lot of the postseason result. There's a lot on the line. He'd be headed into the last year of his contract. I think they absolutely want him back. Now the question is, you know, how do they make that happen? How does he make it? It's got to work for both sides. You know, he wants to be back. They want him back. Can they figure it out?
Adam, is Harbaugh now the hottest candidate out there? And where do you think would be a good fit for him?
he's definitely the hottest candidate out there. And that's evidenced by the fact that literally 45 minutes after he was fired, his agent Brian Harlan called me. And Brian said, just want you to know, I don't care that you report it, that within 45 minutes, seven teams have reached out to me about talking to John. Seven in 45 minutes. Now let's do the math here a second. Seven teams. One of the teams with openings was Baltimore. I don't think that Baltimore was one of the teams that reached out to him about hiring him. So now we're down to six teams with an opening and at least one. And I can tell you this, it was more than just one team with current sitting acting head coaches that reached out to get some information about John Harbaugh.
How careful do those teams have to tread, though, Adam? Because I figure that that's just, to me, a really tight needle that you have to thread of,
oh yeah,
okay, we've got our head coach, but the only way we want to get rid of our head coach is if we can get John Harbaugh. So you have to move quietly, because if anything gets out and leaks, then the whole thing can blow up.
It's, by the way, to reach out like that, when you have a current sitting acting, I think that is, you know what it is? Honestly, it's no different than saying you're married and I'm going to go out to dinner with my, with the person I'm having an affair with. I'm just going to go take him out to dinner. Like, that's the way it is. Like, someone spots you out to dinner. Maybe that's a bit more public, but it's public that there's at least one team that called, at least two, maybe more by now, that called that have current head coaches that have checked in and inquired. That's what it is. It's cheating on your spouse. That's what that is to me.
So you wouldn't consider it due diligence by an organization that was lukewarm on the guy that they have? You know, again, and we've heard the teams that have been thrown out there.
Jen. What sort of due diligence do you need to do? Okay? Like, what do you need to know?
Would you be interested in our spot? I don't think it's a question of his resume and his capabilities as a head coach, although I do see a lot of people banging the drum that, oh, he's just a special teams guy. He's, you know, not calling plays and whatnot, but
who's won 10 games a year for 18
correct,
years.
Including a Super Bowl, but I digress. I think it would be
He's won more road games than any coach in NFL, more road playoff games than any coach in NFL history.
I think it would be, would you be interested in coming here? Would he be interested in coming here when you're talking to John Harbaugh's agent?
Okay, by the way, good question. So if that's the question those teams asked, then clearly they're trying to decide whether they would rather have John Harbaugh or their guy. And you know, I don't care who called. The answer is going to be, John will come right now. Like, yeah, he might have interest. Yeah, okay. Those organizations that called, they know whether he would have some level of interest. If they're good organizations with good quarterbacks, he'll have some interest. If they're crappy organizations with poor ownership and not good, he won't. We could figure out the places he'd be interested in. It's not hard.
Adam, should that make LaFleur and McDermott nervous? The fact that Harbaugh got fired? I mean, because that was a little bit of a shock
funny
to me.
You know, it's funny you say that. Because I actually had that, I was thinking of that with Sean McDermott. I didn't associate it with Matt LaFleur because Matt LaFleur hasn't been around as long as those other guys. But I had that exact thought that you just said last night. I'm taping some sports centers and I'm going, if I'm Sean McDermott and I'm heading to the playoffs this weekend and John Harbaugh just got fired and the Bills come up short again, then why couldn't he get fired? Like, if John Harbaugh's getting fired, then anybody can get fired just about. Anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's HVAC, sheet metal, or welding, Smart 18 members are trained to be the best in the business with top-tier wages, unbeatable benefits, and lifelong career support. It's not just a job, it's a career. Learn more at smart18.org and start building your future today. Going back to the Matt LaFleur, what do you think would be a fair number for him? Because I know coaching salaries, we know some, we don't know all. It kind of operates in this kind of, you know, darker corner, whereas a free agent signs or a free agent re-signs big-time deals, those numbers get out there. The coaching numbers don't as much. What do you think would be a fair number for Matt LaFleur?
You know, to me, I think it's an easy deal to wrap up for both sides if they both want to do it. Okay? I don't know exactly what Ben Johnson made, but I think it was about 12 and a half to 13. Okay? So there we go. Okay, Ben. Let's just say Ben Johnson, for argument's sake, at 12 and a half. Matt, we're going to give you 13. Matt might want 17. I don't know what he wants. Okay? But you know what? You're in Green Bay. The price, the cost of living is not what it is in Chicago or New York. Like, you know, I was hoping more. Well, here's the thing. If I'm Green Bay and I go right away and I go strong and I talk about how much we appreciate you and love you and want you back and how much you mean to this team, and we're going to pay you 13, we'll pay you 13 and a half. Like, you come up with a number that makes them feel good north of Ben. I think a lot of times it's in the approach. You know, if they come in under there, screw them. You know, and then maybe eventually they get there. Like, I could think of, there are many negotiations I've seen, observed, where Group A, they try to come at a party with a low number. And then a fight ensues, it gets dragged, and then they come up in the end. Like, why don't you just start there? If you want the guy, do the right thing. Make it known right away. If you don't, then don't. But make it clear and come strong from the beginning, or don't. That's your choice. You're a guy. You want the guy. Don't be cute. Go get it done. If you don't, move off him. It's pretty. So what's the number is secondary to me in to how the approach is done. It's not hard to figure out what is a right number. But if you want to make somebody fight and grovel and bicker over it, that's the way to lose and disenfranchise somebody.
Adam, do you know Ed Policy at all? Because all I can base things is off of what his dad did in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And what his dad did was fire Bill Walsh, and he fired George Seifert very quickly after they won a Super Bowl there, which is pretty harsh, no-nonsense type of stuff. So, and I talked to the local reporters here that they're like, we just don't know anything about him. Do you know him at all and how he goes about?
Not well.
His dad was pretty. I don't want to say ruthless. That's a little strong, but.
Well, but his dad, and funny, I didn't realize that until you just said that now. His dad may be thought of as ruthless as you're describing, but his dad was a beloved, respected figure. Like, yes. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Great. He's great guy. You know, people loved him. People mm-hmm. loved him. So he may have been ruthless like that. But I don't think that impacted his reputation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, people really loved him. So,
yeah.
When he was with the Niners, so
he loved him too.
I guess that shows you could be ruthless and you could be loved both.
Yeah. We loved him too, Adam. Cause obviously we got Holmgren, and when I got there, our facilities at Boston College were better than they were in Green Bay. So we kind of turned mm-hmm. into San Francisco of the Midwest. And a lot of that, I think, had to do with Carmen Policy, just through talking to Holmgren on how they ran things out there. And we were
And Mike Shanahan picked that up, and he took that to his tree, which was passed down to Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur and Raheem Morris and all these people like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam, when you talked to John Harbaugh's agent, and he said that there were teams that have acting head coaches that were kicking the tires or at least reaching out, do you think Green Bay was one of them?
I couldn't say. I mean, I'd be surprised, but who knows in this world? Anything's possible, right?
And Gabe and I were talking about this earlier. If Matt LaFleur were to become available and John Harbaugh was still on the open market, which of those would be the more desirable head coach across the league, Matt LaFleur or John Harbaugh?
Well, I think I would say this. This is no disrespect to anybody. I think John Harbaugh is the number one guy out there right now. I think he's the guy that's going to command the most money and the most attention. If Matt LaFleur somehow were made available, he would have a job like that in a moment. You know, would there be teams lining up? I think there'd be a lot of – I think he'd have his options, no doubt in my mind. But I just think that right now John Harbaugh is the flavor of the day, and everybody wants a piece of that today.
Adam, we really appreciate you hanging out with us. It's a very interesting time as far as coaching go. I mean, I look up at the television on GetUp, and it's saying, should Kurt Cignetti make the jump to the NFL? What a wild time we are living in, huh?
How do we feel about the game Saturday?
Very excited.
I mean,
and optimistic or pessimistic?
I am optimistic.
I am as well.
But Chewy, also, not so like, much. I mean, this is the best case scenario for the Packers, Adam, because I think they match up well against the Bears. We've seen it. The Packers have played well against the Bears in their two games this year. But it's also like, if they lose, it's the most devastating. Like, I may have to just like delete Twitter with the way my mentions are going to be filled up with Bears fans for like the next, you know, 8 months.
Yeah. I need a tough matchup. Which the playoffs, any matchup is going to be tough.
Yeah,
I think the Bears. Are going to play an A game.
I agree.
Yeah, Chewy thinks that it's over. What do you always say, Chewy?
Stick a fork in it. Listen, I don't know. It's over, but it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be a good one, though. And we have said this. I know there are people out there who have enjoyed the years and years and years of the Packers beating up on the Bears. But the NFL is better as a whole when this rivalry is strong and alive and well. And I think that's where we are now.
Well, should be a great game. Everybody's looking forward to seeing it.
All right, Adam. Enjoy the rest of your week.
We'll assess it next week.
Yeah, you certainly will. Good to chat with you, sir. We always appreciate your time.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Adam Schefter each and every week, brought to us by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com to book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. Yeah. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Of all the stories that Chewy has told us over the years, this one might be his best. Chewy, sounds like there was some excitement in the old Chimura household, in the Chimura fam, over the last week or so.
I guess excitement. Kids, Jen, just wait. Wait till they get older. Kids. So, Angie gets a call from Dyson 2 days ago. She comes and tells me that Dyson got a call from the FBI. Never a good thing, right?
I don't think so, no. I don't know.
There are worse, because if... The FBI's not going to call if they're going to come knocking down your door and arrest you.
But still, the FBI inclusion, the FBI involvement.
Sure.
Skews negative.
It's not great, but again, it's better than the FBI called me, they have our son in custody, right? Like, there are worse things that can be associated with the FBI.
Hey, coming out of his cage over here, we got Mr. Brightside. Go ahead,
now, I will say this, though. Out of all the five kids... If I was to choose which one would get a call from the FBI, it would be Dyson.
Should we power rank them? Should we power rank your
There's a gap. There is a large gap. So I'm like, all right, I got to figure out what's going on here. I was kind of offended that he called Angie first instead of me, but of course. You know, what are you gonna do?
Sure, be offended. I think he feels safe in the decision he made.
So I call him up. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know, the FBI. And Angie's told him, she's like, be careful. It might be a phishing thing or a scam. He said if you call him back, they have to go through a protocol where they take down your information and then they send it to the FBI contact and go from there. So he called him back. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, they called and said someone – tried to compromise my identity with pictures, and it was the Michigan coach that is under federal indictment.
Now, what's interesting is you have to be more specific about the Michigan coach, because between the Connor Stallion stuff and the Sharon Moore stuff, we're not even talking about either of those gentlemen in this situation.
The guy's name is Matthew Weiss.
Yeah. So Dyson doesn't know him from Adam. So the FBI said, well, we have two pictures of you where he tried to compromise your identity. We have to show you the pictures to get confirmation that it was you. And they hacked it from his roommate's, I believe, Instagram account. So Dyson's like, well, why can't you just email them to me? And he's like, no, we have to show you these in person. So yesterday he goes to a Starbucks on the beach, which is packed, and it's two female agents with a plainclothes sheriff. So he sits down and he's like, okay, they're talking and they're explaining there's 3,000 victims and this investigation is going to take a while because he stole a lot of identities. So
hold on, I'm picturing like a manila envelope sitting on the table, right? Yep. A little paper clip in there.
What's bigger than an 8x10?
I mean,
just
what's
the next? Pick a number above a number above 10. There you go.
12, is it 10 by 12? 10
by 12? Yeah, yeah, big one. Keep in mind, pack Starbucks. So they pull out the pictures, and he starts laughing. And it's two pictures of him in college, in his apartment, wearing a specific bathing suit that he tried wearing at the lake. And I gave him a point to go back in the house. And I knew that damn Borat bathing suit would come back and haunt me in some way. So he's laughing. He's laughing. The cops laugh. And the FBI agent, they're two females, very stoic. So he's like,
good for them. Training paid off.
Yep, that's me. And then they go into their spiel, like, are you okay? Are you feel threatened by this? And Dyson's an idiot, kind of like me. And he's just laughing it off. So he confirms that the photos are his. And, of course, the two FBI agents are scratching their head as they're walking out. And they turn to Dyson and go, we're just curious, where do you get a bathing suit like that? Dyson's like, at Spencer's. They sell anything you want. So that was our little drama for the week.
It's pretty good, dude. I love that you took it personally. I love that, you know, he's
the
sitting there with
most
these FBI agents, and
Chewie's
like, I knew that bathing suit would come back to haunt me.
But not only this, as he was leaving his apartment to go meet them, he turned to his girlfriend and said, if I'm not back in an hour, call Angie and tell him I've been gone for an hour.
Angie will know what to do.
Yeah.
Ah, Chewie. Never a dull moment, huh, bud?
No.
Very nice. How much?
Naughty, naughty.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewie rolls on. Stick around.